So Ephesians chapter 4, and we were reading this once before, and before we read it again, I'm going to see if you remember. I gave you the idea of the fivefold ministry, the five things that Christ gave us, and some of us had a reminder just yesterday how to use your hand. But does anyone remember your hand, the five fingers, what each one means? We'll do it again. So hold up your hand, your thumb, that's the apostle, right? The apostle can touch all the other fingers, all the other ministries, and help support and bless those. That's the thumb. Then you have your pointer finger. That's the what? Prophet. The prophet is the one that's pointing to God, pointing, getting the pulse on what God's saying, what he's wanting, speaking on God's behalf towards the people. That's the prophet. Then the middle finger is the one that reaches the furthest away from your body. And so that's the evangelist. The evangelist reaches out the furthest and is trying to gather people into the body of Christ. Then you have the pastor. The ring finger is the pastor that loves and is betrothed to the church and wants to encourage and guard and help protect and nurture. And then finally, does everyone remember the pinky? Teacher, right? The teacher is, my son was here 2 weeks ago. He was sick and he got to hear my sermon. And that's what he remembers what a pinky is for. Does anyone remember what I told you your pinky is for in kindergarten? I don't have to repeat it. But that's the five, it helps you remember. It helps you remember apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Sometimes you have those practical things. And then I also gave you the G's. Does anyone remember the G words? That apostle governs. Apostle helps govern the church and other ministries. The other G, then prophet guides, is constantly trying to be a guide to point you back to Jesus, back to God, guide. An evangelist gathers, another G word, gathers people into the body of Christ. A pastor guards, wants to protect, is like a shepherd guarding his flock. That's a pastor guards. And then finally, the teacher grounds, wants to ground you in the truth of God's word, wants to make sure that you're saved, great, but now you got to get rooted in God's word and become mature, that you can bear much fruit. So that's important that we remember those five, the fivefold ministry that we're talking about. And you know what? I'm going to say it even now. I was going to wait towards the end of my message, but I'll give you the heads up. That we've been talking about, top it off. That's the name of the series, right? And that's what we're talking about, the top of your block. What I would like you to do, and I'm just going to say it now, is to, I'm going to say pick, but that's maybe a bad word, but to start to realize which ministry God has called you to function under. Are you to follow under someone that helps govern and administer and help with those types of abilities in the church? Not that you're going to be titled with the title of apostle, but is that something that you do? You have the gift of administration. You have the gift of helping govern and help raise up other leaders. Is that something that you want to do? Prophet, are you, you know, whatever it is, I'm going to go through all of them again. But that's what I'm giving you right now before I go through my whole message. I want you to start thinking about what is God calling you to? Because if you remember, we're going to read Ephesians, it says that he gave his gifts to each one of us. This isn't just for the elite. This isn't just for those that are vocational in ministry, that are getting paid a paycheck to be in ministry. This is for every single person in the body of Christ, is to be gifted into function in one area of ministry, under these five different areas of ministry. And so I want us to understand that, and I want you to be prayerful, because I'm going to share with you. You might think it's easy for me. Well, Pastor Ryan knows what he's going to put on top of his block. He's just going to put pastor, because that's what he is. He's a pastor. Maybe not. I'm going to share with you at the end. What I feel like God wants me to do there. So let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to read it all through again, verse 7 through 16, so we have a good context. Ephesians 4, 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does that mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the working of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. All right, I know there was a lot of verses. We went through some of those 2 weeks ago, and I was kind of breaking some of that down. But just quickly, again, highlighting a few of those, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, that it's he gave the gift, the very first verse we read, to all men, to each one of us, that he gave some of us to be this, some that, that we're not all to be the same, that we're to be different, and we're to be, the, for the reason is, for the building up, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the last verse we read is for the unity. It's to bring us together. It's that we each, you can talk about in Corinthians, there's other parts in Scripture where it talks about how each one of us plays a different part, that we each have a different function, and that we have to come together to be healthy in the body of Christ. And so you see that, that God makes that clear, and that I wanted to make sure that we understand that these gifts, right, you can only give something that you once have, right? You can't give something that's not yours, right? So I know that that's been a heavy weight on me as a pastor, that I can't necessarily lead you and take you to places that I've never been. I've got to be a good leader. I, as a good shepherd, I have to know where the green pastures are so I know how to take you to the, by the still waters. I have to have gone through the valley of shadow of death before so that I can be a comfort to you as we go through those difficult times. And so some of that sometimes is daunting for me, that responsibility, but I want God's grace to be there, and I want you to understand that Jesus, he gave these gifts because they're his. These are there's gifts of the Holy Spirit, right, that we know that we can talk about, but right now this is the gifts of Christ. And Jesus, he functioned in all five of these ministries while he was here on the earth. That he was an apostle. He was someone that governed, right? That he had his disciples, and he knew how to lead his disciples. He knew how to cast vision. He knew how to share with them, this is where we're headed, this is where we're going, this is what we need to do. He knew how to empower. He was leading other leaders. He was training up these fishermen, these tax collectors, these people that didn't know how to be in the religion at all. They were the kind of the outcast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all these things, the religion that was going on there. And Jesus says, I'm going to take the least of these, and I'm going to train them up. I'm going to show them how to become leaders. And they did, right? Peter became the head, right? He became that Christ built on Peter. And these became the apostles that wrote a lot of the New Testament. And so you see that Jesus was an apostle. He governed, and he even gave authority, right? We can even read that he gave it to 72 different disciples, right? He sent them out into the city, and they were able to cast out demons. They were able to perform miracles and do these things because it was through Christ as the apostle that was equipping the saints, was equipping these new leaders to do these. So you see Jesus, he is an apostle. He functions in that ministry. You see that Jesus, he is a prophet, right? Jesus even said that, who do men say that I am? And they say, well, some say you're a prophet, you're Elijah, you're this. People recognize that he was a prophet. He fulfilled hundreds of prophecies, right? Isaiah, all those things. He fulfilled all these prophetic things, but he also spoke prophetically. He even talked about, he was walking by the temple, and he said, man, you guys can tear down this temple, and in 3 days I'm going to rebuild it. People are like, are you crazy? This guy says weird, outlandish things because he was spiritually kingdom-minded, and he was prophetically speaking about his own body. That, man, you're going to destroy this physical body, but I'm going to raise it back up in 3 days. He was speaking prophetically, and that's what he was. He was a prophet. He would constantly pointing people back to God. He constantly was saying, I only speak what I hear the Father say. He constantly was guiding people into the truth of God's word. And so that's important that we see he was a prophet, that he was an evangelist, right? That he taught in the synagogues. He went to the temple to worship. He did all those things. But where did most of his ministry take place? Out in the streets, out on the wayside, out on the hillside. He would evangelize. People would throng to him, right? Thousands of people would come to hear what he had to say, and thousands of people would become followers of him because he was an evangelist. He wanted people to know. He wanted to get the word out. He wanted to spread the gospel. He went to Jerusalem. He went to Judea. He went to Samaria and preached to the woman at the well. He went to all these places. He didn't just stay in his hometown in Nazareth. He wanted to be an evangelist. You see that he was. You see that he was, I'm going through all pastor, right? Pastor, really in the Greek, and you read it all throughout the scripture, it means shepherd. That's really the word that's being used that Jesus talks about. Jesus even says, I am the good shepherd. He talks about all kinds of parables about how sheep and all these different things, and he refers to himself as the pastor, the good pastor. That's who he is, that he wants to guard and protect. Even the woman that was dragged and thrown at his feet, and the religious leaders wanted to stone her. What did he do? He wanted to guard and protect. That was his heart, that he constantly wanted to do that. His parables talking about the sheep. Man, I'm going to leave the 99 and go get that one that's lost. He's this shepherd, that he's a good shepherd. He wants to protect and guard his sheep. You see that he is a teacher, right? I'm just even thinking about recently, the Easter, I talked about a couple different things. That Mary, when she was at the garden after Jesus died and rose again, she was the first person to see his resurrected body, right? And she didn't know. She thought it was a gardener, right? She's talking to him, and all of a sudden her eyes are open, and she realizes it's Jesus. And what's the first word that comes out of her mouth? Rabboni! She says, teacher, my teacher, the person that's taught me what real life is, that she knows he's a teacher. And Jesus, he says he's a good teacher, right? He says that he's that. Even people that didn't believe in him recognized that he was a good teacher. People kept saying, man, who is this Joseph's boy? He teaches with authority. He teaches unlike the Pharisees, unlike any other scribe and religious leader. This man, he teaches in a way that I've never heard before, that he was a teacher. And so you see that Jesus, he's giving these gifts because it's who he is. It's part of who he is. He gives these gifts away because they are his to give. And I love it. Pastor Wayman, there are a few of us met with him yesterday. And I love that God dovetails all these things because there's things that he's placed on my heart already. And man, he was stealing some of my thunder yesterday, but it wasn't for all of you. So you get to hear it this morning. But that Jesus, when he gave these gifts, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, that he didn't give these gifts really fully until he ascended. It first says until he descended, he had to ascend. And then it says that it's until he ascends again. It's between his resurrections, between his coming again. These gifts are for the church. And you see that Jesus, he's replacing himself. That when Jesus ascended and he left the earth, he wanted to replace himself. So he didn't find Peter and say, all right, Peter, you're going to become the Pope. And I'm going to give you all five gifts, and you're going to be just like me, and you're going to help, you know, spread the gospel, and you're going to help expand the kingdom. No, he said, Peter, man, you're going to be an apostle. This is who you're going to be. You're going to help govern. You're going to help do these things. Can you move in more than one ministry? Yes, you can. That's not what I'm saying. At the same time, none of us in this room are meant to function in all five ministries equally. That's not how God's created it. We're created to function in one and stronger than others. And that it's the body of Christ. You read this through Scripture. We just read in Ephesians that we're supposed to. That Jesus replaced himself not with one other man. He replaced himself with the church, with you and me. That we are to carry on the ministry of Christ. What's the ministry of Christ? The fivefold ministry. That the church is to carry on this ministry that Christ was doing for 3 years. How do we do that? We can't do it on our own. We've got to be together in this fivefold ministry, in the church, all functioning in all five areas. And so that's why I want us to understand my hope this morning is that God begins to open our eyes and to realize the calling that God has in your life, to realize the ministry that you are supposed to be functioning under. And I know on the blocks we wrote all these things, right, that Christ is our foundation, that you have the church as your backing, you have a ministry in front where you're headed, what your hands are touching. You might write food pantry. You might write different things of what you're practically doing, and on the sides who you're submitting to and who you're raising up to disciple. And on the top now, I want us to understand this covering, this thing, this overarching gift, because we know it's a gift from God, that is over our lives, that God has called us in this area to function in this place of ministry within the church body. And as we understand it, as each one of us begin to understand our ministry, that's when we can function together as a body, and that's when we become healthy. That's what it says at the very end, right? In Ephesians 4:16, I want to read it again in the New Living Translation. Let me find it in my... Uh-oh, my iPad's doing something funny. Hold on. Good golly. Hold on a second. I want to read Ephesians 4:16 in the New Living Translation, and give me a second here. Well, it's not there. Thank you. Could have found it on my phone, I guess, too, huh? He makes the whole body, of course, got to the page, fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. How do we become healthy? How do we build the church? This is the theme this year, is to build Oz Neighborhood Church, to build the church at large. How do we build? We can't healthily build unless we understand the ministries that each one of us are called to. And so that's this morning. I want to spend a lot of time talking about each of the fivefold ministries, but I felt the Lord kind of drawing me into another area. And so I want us to look at another passage. You can have this back if you want to read it, because we're going to look at 2 Timothy 1:9. You can turn with me there. 2 Timothy 1:9. We're going to read through 12. 2 Timothy 1:9 through 12. And I'm going to steal the last word of the previous verse, where it says, God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I got to even stop there. There's more I want to cover. But it says that God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. There's a whole lot that's going on in these verses that Paul is explaining to Timothy and to the church. He's saying, do you understand that Christ, that God saved you? And there's a lot of Christians, probably several of us in this room, that we understand that God saved us. But you need to understand that he also called you. That above and beyond just saving you hear me say this a lot as your pastor, that my job, I feel like my job is not just to make sure that you have a ticket to go to heaven. Of course, that's important. That's what evangelists want to do. I want to do that. I want to make sure that we bring people into this church, that we're evangelizing, bringing people into the body of Christ. At the same time, I don't want you just as a Christian just to have this ticket to go to heaven and then you're good. I want you to understand that you have a calling, a holy calling. It's a separate, holy means set apart. This holy calling, God has a holy calling over your life. And you need to understand that. That's so important. It's a holy calling, not according to your works, not according to what you think you can do, not according to your personality type, not according to what you like or dislike. God has a holy calling on each one of our lives. And it says that calling was there before he even laid the foundations of the earth, before time began. He had a calling on your life. This is God's word. So whether you feel like it or whether you want to agree with it or not, it's God's word. God saved you, but he also called you. What has he called you to? And I think there's some of us in this room that we don't have that clearly defined. I know that I'm saved, but what am I called to? Yeah, I'm called to be in the church. I'm called to serve in the nursery. I'm called to just help every once in a while. I'm called to go on a mission trip every once in a while. What are you called to? What do you believe that really is overarching, that you're really supposed to put on your block and say, this is defined, this is what God is saying over my life. This is who I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to function under this type of ministry. And again, I'm going to reiterate, it doesn't mean that if you're just one there that you can't touch other ministries. I pray that as your pastor, that I can speak prophetically into your life. I want my sermons to be prophetic. I don't want them just to be, I want to be a good teacher. I want to explain and ground you in God's word. But above and beyond that, I want to make sure that I'm speaking into your life, giving you hope, showing you where God is taking you, pointing you to what God is saying to you specifically in your life. There's things that of course, I want to be evangelist. There's been, I don't know, tens, twenties of hands that have gone up over these last few years that have accepted Christ here in this room as I've given sermons. I want to evangelize. I want to function in all five ministries. But I have to understand that there's something that I can't do all five equally well. There's got to be something that's overarching that God's called me to. And that's what I want you this morning to begin to explore, begin to understand, get some revelation of what God is calling in your life. And I think this is important. I think there's a, like I said, several in this room, you believe you're saved, but what are you called to? I'm believing God wants to bring revelation. I'm believing that God wants to you to understand the calling on your life. Why? So that you can equip other people for the effective ministry, for the effective ministry of Christ, that you weren't saved just to go to heaven. You weren't saved just to have that ticket. You were saved to advance his kingdom, right? In Isaiah, it says that the increase of his government, there is no end. So Christ, when he says that he ascended, that he gave these gifts because he wants his kingdom to expand. He wants his ministry to keep going. He says, greater things are you going to do than I even did in these 3 years. How is that possible? It's when a church understands each individual part, understanding their calling on God's life, on your life, and functioning in them healthily. It says that you'll be full of love, healthy, and growing. I'm telling you, this church is supposed to grow. I believe that. This isn't just a desire of mine because I'm the pastor and I would like to see this church grow. Yeah, that's true. I would like to see the church grow. But way above and beyond that, I believe God has called this church to grow. I believe we're supposed to increase in our numbers. I believe we're supposed to increase in spiritual health, grow healthy too. And some of that I'm believing is directly tied to this. What God is saying, he wants us to get a hold of this fivefold ministry. And he wants you personally to get a hold of what God has called you to. That you have a holy calling. It's set apart. It's different. It's not going to look like mine. It's not going to look like the person next to you. Holy means set apart. There's a holy calling on your life. Do you know what it is? Are you confident of what the calling is and God has in your life? And I love this. I'm going to keep reading. So I'm going to read it again and we'll keep going down to verse 12. Verse 9. God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So you see, this connects beautifully right into the fivefold ministry. Paul is saying, I recognize that I was called and appointed by God for his own purposes. I was going to persecute Christians. I was killing them. But God had a calling in my life. He stepped in. There was this impact. There was this turn of events where Jesus appeared and everything changed. He said that I was called to go and share the good news. I was called to now become a leader, an effective person that now he's teaching Timothy in this verse. He's raising up Timothy to be a pastor, to become a leader. That I wasn't going to go here, but I'll say that. Apostles, I was raised as a kid that there was only 12, right? And then Paul, that was it. That's apostles. Nobody else can be apostle. But if you read through Scripture, and I didn't have it prepared because I wasn't going to say it this morning, there's at least 20 different people that are mentioned as apostles. Barnabas is considered, Timothy is considered an apostle. There's all these people that are considered apostles outside the 12. And I'm not looking to, I'll say this now, I'm not looking for titles and position that you guys all need to understand what you are, and we're going to start calling everybody, you're going to start calling me Apostle Ryan, and we're going to start calling Jen Prophet Jen, and we're going to start calling this person. I'm not looking for titles or position, because you need to understand God's grace and his gifts are given for service, not for status. God's grace and his gifts are given for service. To me, that's why I love the apostle, which really is, they're not given in greater authority, in greater measure and title, but the reality is we know that apostle is the one that's touching all the other ministries. An apostle needs to have that honor to do that, but I love that it's the shortest. I just love short people, I think, maybe. I love that it's there to serve. I love that it's not there to seek all the attention and all the glory and all the honor. No, Paul was an apostle. What did Paul keep saying? Man, I'm the least among the brethren. Man, I'm here to serve you. I don't even need your money. I'll become a tent maker. I don't want things from you. That even Paul's an apostle, when he was preaching, he went to a new town. People were ready to make him and Barnabas a god. Man, you're a god. You speak like the gods. They threw their robes in front of Paul. Let's worship you. Paul said, are you crazy? No, I'm just a messenger. I'm just telling you what God said. He didn't want glory and fame. So this is not about position, title, authority, respect, honor. This is the idea that God gives grace and gifts for us to serve, for us to build up the body of Christ. The idea is that other people are benefiting for the calling that God has in my life. It's not for myself, it's for other people. And so that's what you need to understand. God's called you and equipped you to bless other people, to serve other people. And I love that Paul, I just love that there's a connection, that Paul sees that. He has no problem saying, yeah, I am an apostle, I'm a teacher, I'm a preacher, that's who I am, that's what God's called me. I would love for some of us to begin to realize the calling in our life and what ministry we're under, and to say, yeah, that's who I am. I'm under this ministry. And to have some confidence. And I originally was going to give you guys a website and a web link to go to, and you can take a test, and it kind of gives you where your natural bent is under which five of the different ministries, where your strengths lie. I might give that to you next Sunday. We'll see. But I want you to begin to understand that. And I guess this idea of calling, there's some of you specifically in this room that need to understand that the calling of God is irrevocable. It's hard because I'm even thinking of specific, I'm not just saying this in general. There's some of you. There's people that are coming to my mind right now. There's individuals in this room that you need to understand the calling that God has in your life. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. I even, during worship, God was just reiterating this fact to me. And what I'm saying, some of you might begin to understand who I'm talking to. I'm not saying this as a spiritual son, which I am to some of you. I'm not saying this as a spiritual brother, which I am to all of you. I'm saying this with the authority and the title of your pastor, that you are called. And the calling that you have in your life doesn't mean that it's supposed to wane, that it once was great and now it's less than, that it's supposed to slow down in old age. The calling that God has in your life is irrevocable. I get it how seasons change, that how you function under that calling might look different in different places, in different times of your life. I understand all of that. But the calling that God has on your lives, it's never supposed to slow down. It's never supposed to diminish in power or authority or in effectiveness. That really, God, I believe, I'm saying this prophetically, that God wants to increase the calling on your life, even in your old age. I don't know why I'm getting emotional even saying this, that some of you, I know you've heard this before, but like Caleb in his old age, you need to be able to say, I want that hill country. Amen. Give me the most difficult thing. That's what I want. I want the land where the giants live. Amen. That David, generations later, defeated Goliath. But you understand, Caleb first, he defeated a whole city of Goliaths. In his old age. That Paul, you say, he says, man, I'm going to run the race. Man, I'm going to press forward to the prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. You understand? You have an upward call in your life. The calling that God has in your life, it's irrevocable and it's upward. I don't mean just to go to heaven one day. I mean from glory to glory. It's upward. The calling that God, this is for everyone. The calling that God has in your life, it's upward. It's to increase. It's to get more. More responsibility, more authority. Not in my notes, but I feel like I'm supposed to give. I don't want to make it about me, but I remember, I've shared this thing before years ago, that even as a college student, God began to reveal some of the calling he had in my life. And I can remember telling God no. He was blessing me. His grace was on me. Again, it wasn't because I deserved it, right? Salvation is a free gift of God. It's grace that we've been saved. Not by works, lest any man boast. And I began to see the grace that was on my life. I began to see God's goodness, that he just kept being good to me. And I just realized, God, to whom much is given, much is required. And I would say, God, please stop. I don't want any more blessings. I don't want any more grace. I know I didn't deserve it, but would you just stop? Because I don't know that I can handle the responsibility. But I'm telling you, some in this room, God wants to increase the upward call. He's saying that the end of your life is supposed to be better than anything you've ever experienced. The calling on your life, that more people are to be impacted at the end of your life than ever before. That like Caleb, he wasn't taking the hill country just for himself. He knew that there was a family, there were generations to come that needed to know there was a man that was willing to take on the Goliaths. That I believe, in part, David inherited from Caleb. That there's people, I know you've heard me say as a pastor, that I want to focus from the nursery to the young adults, college age. That's on my heart. To make sure we increase those numbers, that we do whatever we can to make those ministries effective. Do you understand? That doesn't mean I want to diminish a ministry to an older age person here. All the more, I think why I'm emotional is because I'm realizing not only does God need Calebs in this church, I need Calebs in this church. I need some mighty men and women of God that have gone into the promised land before and have seen the good works. Yes, maybe you came back into a dry and weary wilderness, but you're ready to go charge back into that promised land. Full gusto, saying, let's go, follow me. I don't want to make this all about me, but I'm just saying, I sent it in my spirit. I need some Calebs in this church. Say, take charge. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's build this church. Let's bring in those young people. Let's do new things. Let's take on new territory. Let's expand. Let's take risk. What would this church look like if every older person was the risk takers, not the young people? Man, I'm telling you, this church is going to grow and thrive because of the Calebs here. I didn't even know I was going to go all there. Sorry, but
God's got a word for some of you. And I believe there's some of you, obviously, that are younger. We just talked about graduation, right? People are graduating. You're trying to figure out, God, what do you want to do with my life? God has a calling. It's an upward call. He called you before the time began. He knows. He knew what you were supposed to write on the top of your block before you were born. And I want you to be praying. I want you to think about what you're going to put on that block. What is God saying to you? Not what do I think I want to do. What is God saying? And this is me being personal and real. I'll somewhat try to wrap up with this. Originally, when I was thinking about all this months and months ago, I was ready just to write pastor way ahead in advance because that's what God's called me to. And I do believe God's called me to be a pastor. And that was weird for me. I remember that I shared this several times. The very first time I got that title, pastor, I was crawling in my skin. I didn't like that title because I'm just Ryan. From one day to the next day, all of a sudden this title was placed on me. So I'm not looking for titles. I'm not looking for positions. But I'm going to be honest with you. God challenged me that I'm supposed to put apostle on top of mine. Is that because I think I know better than all of you? Let me teach you. Let me be apostle to you. No. Is that because I want to be called apostle, right? No. Is that because I'm seeking glory and more prestige and honor? No. It's because I know it's a gift from Christ. And I realize what God has called me to be the pastor at Osborne, is way beyond any gifting I have right now. I'm saying, God, I need gifting. Not according to my works. God, I need help. I don't know how to lead leaders. I'm still learning how to be a pastor. How in the world would you want me to put apostle up there? It's way beyond what I could ever try to ever think, hope, or imagine. It's exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what I could ever dream. And that's what I believe some of you are supposed to put a calling on top of yours that you're like, what? I don't know. And I'll be honest with you, if it doesn't scare you, it's probably not big enough. Because that's just how God is in my life. Anytime I know that it's God speaking something, man, it's going to take greater faith than I had before. It's going to take a whole lot more grace of God because I know I can't do that. God, I don't know how I can't do that. But through Christ Jesus, I can. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That in my weaknesses, his strengths are perfected. That I will boast all the more in my weaknesses. That's the attitude. It's not the attitude of, I want this title. Baloney. If anyone's trying to do that, then man, I'll be the first person to rebuke you. I'm not looking for title and positions. I'm looking for people that are ready to serve. And they're saying, some of you, like me, like I said when I was in college, you're maybe afraid to ask for giftings. You're afraid to ask for the calling because you know it's too big. Okay, I'll try to wrap it up with this last thought. My kids, I got four kids. They love getting gifts, right? Who doesn't love giving gifts? But I got one who really likes getting gifts. And I shared with you two Sundays ago that there's different love languages and that my mom, Nana, loves giving gifts. And so, needless to say, Jen and I had to teach this one child that it is rude that every time you see Nana that you ask for a gift. You can't ask for a gift all the time because that's rude to keep asking for gifts all the time. And that's true, that it is rude. And I think somehow we correlate that into the supernatural and into God's kingdom. And that's not what Scripture says. I get how in the natural that is rude. I don't want my kids everywhere they go, can I have this? Can I have this? Do you have a gift for me? Do you have a present for me? That's rude. But according to God's kingdom, it isn't. And for, I mean, I'm different verses. First Corinthians 12, the very last verse is verse 12. Desire, seek, ask for the best gifts. You have not because you ask not. Jesus said several times in Matthew, he says, man, if you earthly fathers enjoy giving good gifts and know how to give good gifts, how much more does the Heavenly Father love giving good gifts? In fact, I want to read it word for word. Because I normally read the one where it's talking about the Holy Spirit. But in Matthew, it says this, if earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more will a heavenly father give good things to those who ask him? I know I said that when Christ gave gifts, he gave it to everyone. But there is something about asking. There is something about God wants to know if you want it. There is something where the call in your life was before time began. He placed the call in it. He says that he was the lamb who was slain before the foundations of the earth. He saved, when he died for all sins of all humanity. He died for everyone, but who receives the free gift of salvation and who gets to go to heaven? They have to receive that gift. It's for everyone. It's the same thing. The calling in your life, God had a call in your life before the time began. But are you receiving it? Are you asking for it? Are you saying, God, I want the calling that you have in my life? And like I said, when I was in college, I didn't want it. But being honest and real with you, God, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I remember it was months. God, I don't want it. I don't want it. And as we end the service, I know I've been saying this several times, we end the service, we're going to end with one last worship song. And we're going to have leadership up here. And if you want prayer for anything, yes, we want to pray with you with anything. But specifically, if you need prayer or you want prayer for God to begin to open your eyes, the calling he has in your life. Or you're like me when I was in college saying, God, I don't think I want it, but I do want to please you. And I'm in this place where I don't know what I want. I want to please you, but I don't want to do this. We just want to pray with you. We just want to encourage you. We want to build you up. We want to help. That's what we're here for. So I guess for me, it's kind of this thing where it's bittersweet. I feel like there's this joy and excitement and passion in my heart because I'm so excited about us getting this as a church, to see the church healthy, functioning the way it's supposed to, and it's going to explode. This church is going to grow. And at the same time, I know there's some wrestling. I know there's some difficulty. I know there's some things that we're searching God, and we're saying, okay, God, I got to submit to you, and that's hard. So would you just stand with me as I pray and we close the service? And maybe I'll be real with you. Some of you, maybe you're not supposed to come forward. Maybe you are supposed to stay in your seat and do business with God and then maybe come forward. So Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you not only saved us, but you called us and then you gifted us. God, your grace, it just abounds. Your grace is there to save us, to redeem us, to deliver us. But your grace is also there to empower us, to fill us. God, that your Holy Spirit would come, begin to wash away the lies, the enemy, the lies that would say, I can't, the lies that would say, I'm not capable, the lies that would say, I'm too old, the lies that would say, I've got to slow down. And then we begin to line ourselves up with the truth of your word. The truth of what your Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. That we would submit and yield under the hand of a mighty God. That you would exalt us. That you would raise us up to where you want us to be, God. That you would place that upward call in Christ Jesus on us. And that our answer would just be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm receiving it. I will go. I will do. I will open my mouth. So God, I thank you that you're speaking to me this morning, obviously. But you're speaking to a lot of us this morning. May we respond and become doers of your word. That we might please you. That we might bring joy and delight to you. In Jesus' name.